Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. Shining our light in dark times to lighten your path. But God's Word is a light unto our path that tells us where we're going. It's a lamp unto our feet. It tells us where we are. Listen, if you don't have the light of God's Word, you're lost. We're bringing it to you here on VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is the producer of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And the one, the only, New York, John Ramos. If you missed it, you got to hear the first hour. We're talking about Israel's 65th birthday, but also the coming of the Lord is near, near, near. Think about it. Near. Any moment, in a twinkling of an eye, like lightning coming from the sky that you can see instantly. It's like, over. We're out of here. Or, like the book series and the movie series, you're left behind. Make sure you're right. Hear that in the first hour. Also about the Boston Marathon alleged terrorist bombing we're able to talk about. Also, we're talking about in the extra hour here is David Wilkerson's anguish, understanding that there needs to be anguish in our heart about these times and how God will reward that, and hunger. The biggest currency in the kingdom of God is desperation and hunger. God will take you to a desperate place, a place that you're so hungry that you cry out in the midst of your wilderness experience, and He will make streams that flow with living water. He'll bust forth wells of oases to be able to bring life not only to you, but to many others. The currency we're talking about in the kingdom of God is so much more. You listen to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And a nephew, John Ramos. We're also going to be playing this next part of the interview with Sid Roth as he's interviewing about the Malachi prophecies in the book Exo Vaticano, the new book that's just come out, but also don't have the books in front of me and the titles of the books, but
Petrus Romanus is one of them.
Yeah, Petrus, that's his first one.
First one in Exo Vaticana. My goodness, these are some really good reads. You want to make sure that you check out yesterday's highlight if you missed it, because it's 1 out of 10. And you got to hear them all. You got to hear them all to get the full picture, the full understanding of what is being said. But the title for yesterday's segment is called "The Final Pope is Here." Just like in the days of Noah, and the seven amazing parallels with what is happening today. I mean, you got to hear this. And secret documents in the Vatican. Oh my goodness, I'm telling you, you got to hear this. But you know, I don't know if you guys knew this, but you know, we have talked and mentioned about Pastor Saeed Abedini. And he is the Iranian pastor, born pastor, who's actually an American citizen now, who converted from Islam to Christianity. He's sentenced to 8 years. 8 years. He was building an orphanage. Building an orphanage in Iran. And we've got new news that the Christian Post is actually reporting, but the American Center of Law and Justice received news that Pastor Abedini has been severely beaten. I mean, to the point where he's fainting and has internal bleeding. I mean, you're talking about persecution from Iran. Now it's gotten to the point where the Secretary of State, John Kerry, has been informed. They have over 560,000 people around the world who've signed this petition for his support for him to be released. And it's like, come on now. What is it going to take? What's it going to take for this man, this American citizen who's being jailed in Iran to be released? And now to the point where the poor man has internal bleeding. And one of the nurses, somehow a letter came out that the nurse told him that she couldn't touch him because he was unclean. And so she couldn't even take care of his wounds and his pains and what was going on with him. And it's like, this is the face of evil. This is the face of evil while people are being silent, ignorant, and not even just paying attention to what's happening. And it's like, you know what? It's time for us to pray like never before. And I'm just amazed. I'm really amazed. I say that I'm amazed, but then again, you know, I just shake my head because, you know, how can we be amazed? Look what's happening all over this country and all over the world. And I keep thinking about the days of Noah, where we read in God's word that every inclination, every bent that they had in them was bent towards evil every time, 24/7. We talked about on VFN Radio the grieving heart of God, that God's heart was grieved and was filled with pain because everywhere he looked, there was evil.
Right.
And we talked about what's happening today on the face of this earth. Let me tell you, you know what? You know, enough's enough. We were talking earlier in this first hour about that cup being filled up. That cup being filled up. It takes a nation, it takes the church to repent and say, you know what? We've got to leave this life of sin. We've got to turn our hearts back to God. And it's not about grieving and bringing a pain to the Lord's heart, but it's about once again bringing joy to God. Bringing joy to the Father. I mean, God's brought us in such a place of relationship and has given us such a place with him that we could either cause him grief and cause him pain, or we can bring joy to the Father's heart. And I think about what's happening with Pastor Abedini. All he has to do is renounce Jesus, and he will not do it. And you think about what he's willing to go through for the cause of Christ. Hmm. And I think about, you know, Christians here in America. What are we willing to go through?
Well, I don't really think that we're even worthy to stand in his presence.
No, no, not at all.
I'm talking about God. I'm just talking about Pastor Saeed. And
yeah.
I would like, yeah. I'm not even going to look at you in the eye. Because
exactly.
I have so far to go. You know, we've been raised like princes and princesses. Kings over here and queens in America for so long. We've been so blessed, and it's nothing. That's God. That's God's blessing. But now the persecuted church, you know, and you look at the tenacity that he has, which means this: that when the bride is persecuted, like it's talked about in the Song of Solomon, that's when she comes alive. Mm. When she becomes so desperate for Jesus. When she becomes so hungry for him, I have to be with my bridegroom. And then that's when she'll go through something.
You think about the church in China. I've heard it said that it said, please don't pray for us for our persecution. It's our persecution that keeps us in love with the Lord. We pray that you be persecuted in America.
Right. Well, they're trying to get into to legitimacy and acceptance by the people who don't know God. And it's like, once that happens, you know, you're Americans. So, you know, don't do that. Yeah. The American church. And it's like, what are you doing? No, please. Oh my gosh, we're so sorry that we started that. Because they found out when they went into other nations outside of America, they tried to start the American gospel there. And they don't tell you this, but let me tell you, this is how it works.
Yeah.
They found out that you can't build what you build in America and it work. It all crashes. It doesn't, but you have to allow the church to grow naturally, relationally, and it's rapid. I mean, you got, you know, more believers in China than you have in any other nation. But China and India are now neck and neck. But so they know that you have this predominant way of gathering in America pays money to missionaries to go out into other nations, and they tell them, don't tell them what we're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't tell them they have to do it this way. You don't need a PowerPoint and an overhead, you know, or you don't need, you know, whatever.
Whatever.
You know.
All right.
You need Jesus.
Because it won't work. And we want this to work. And so they say, just tell them about Jesus. Don't mix any of your programs in. Just teach them the Bible, the word, and let them begin to run with God. But then they come back and they keep everybody else in this whole stuff that they know doesn't work.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It really is. But really, I mean, is the prostitute the problem, or is the John the problem? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was in law enforcement for some time working with that. And it's like, you're never going to stop the prostitution until you stop the person riding around trying to pick him or her up.
Yeah.
You know? And so we got to quit, you know, trying to, you know, hirelings and, you know, hirelings, by the way, let me tell you something what a hireling will do. they're going to leave you. They're going to leave you. They're there for because you look for somebody you could hire and tell what to do.
That's right.
And you got them. You got them. And if you go to the VFN Torch, and you'll actually search for atheist in the pulpit, there'll be an interview by Diane Sawyer saying, I'm over a mega church expression, and I'm an atheist. But it's the only trade I know, so I don't know what to do.
Oh, wow.
Is the tragedy that he's over them, or they don't even have a clue? That many people don't even have a clue that he's not even a believer.
Yeah. And another segment you want to listen to is, does money determine your obedience to the call?
Mm.
That's so important as well. I mean, you can think about it. Why are you there? So we just want to lift up Pastor, you know, Abedini,
yes,
and believe for his release and believe that what is happening there in Iran. And even you can only imagine who's being touched right there in that prison. Just pray that God's fulfilled, you know, plan will be fulfilled and that he will be safe and returned back to his family and continue the work that God's called him to do.
Yes, yes. And continue to lift up the persecuted church because he's actually the spotlight.
Yeah.
But there's people all around the world right now who love Jesus and are refusing to give up Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
And truly, I mean, you think about it. I mean, could we even stand in his presence?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Lord, give us that steel. You know, God gives you a new heart when you're born again, but you got to grow your own backbone.
Come on. Mm.
You know, and what we need in America, we need a steel backbone.
Yeah.
You know, that just stands no matter what for God.
Yeah.
Not no emotional driven church. A church that's loyal despite the emotions not being loyal.
Mm.
Being loyal to Jesus when people aren't loyal to you. You know, being in love with Jesus when nobody's in love with you. Giving love to others when everybody refuses to love you. Listen, that's what eternity is about. That is the great reward. That's what you have to offer him when you stand before his presence, right?
That's right.
That's what we have to offer him. And this is our little moment, our vapor. I'm kind of glad he cut it short instead of being 900 years.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
you know,
look what we do already in like 100 years, right?
That's right.
Amazing.
And it was because of the days of Noah, he realized, he just said, we're going to cut these days short.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know, that was the mercies of God. So
the
you let them live too long, they turn in on themselves.
Like, right.
Right. You imagine it's like 800th birthday. Happy birthday. He's like,
again.
I told you when I was 700, we would never have these things again.
How about the candles on that cake?
Yeah, I know. That's right. My goodness. Well, I was thinking about meditating on because of what's happening right now in South Africa, where one of John G. Lake's churches that he founded in his ministry, and John G. Lake was an awesome man of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you can read about him in a lot of different books. I like Robert Lierden's viewpoint of him in God's Generals. And But Todd Bentley is down in, who was mentored and restored and beautifully restored by Rick Joyner, who also, you just think, oh my goodness, you know, are
he's
we
awesome.
Even, isn't he nice? Like, oh my
he's
goodness.
Awesome.
You're like, oh, you're right. And, but Todd was humble enough to say, I want to go through this. It takes two situations.
Yeah.
And because he did now, he is out redigging the wells of John G. Lake in one of John G. Lake's biggest churches in South Africa.
Durban,
South Africa.
Wow.
And, what is the couple with God TV?
Wendy and Roy.
Oh, yeah. Wendy and Roy.
Yeah. That they're there broadcasting it. They're probably like going, this is probably the second week of it. And it happened on the anniversary of Lakeland, right?
The Lakeland outpouring, yeah.
Lakeland outpouring.
Oh, wow.
And it's just so beautiful. People say, well, that can't happen. Listen, that's who we all are. The day that you think you can be used because you're worthy is the day that you can no longer be used.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing about that, too, is that they, like a week before that, before they even broadcast it, they did like a two-hour interview with Todd because they broadcast the, you know, the Lakeland outpouring. And so it was the first time that they had an opportunity to get together and kind of just talk about everything. And you could see just so much humility and just even Todd sharing repentance and their receiving of that. And it was just raw and authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And here you go, a week later, God pulls it all together, kind of, you know, and just allows this whole thing to. And they didn't even know; they had no idea that that was going to happen, and they were going to be there. And but God knew, right. And so they suspended some of their broadcasting to step out on God again and say, you know what, we're going to broadcast this to the nations, and they have all kind of verified healings that are taking miracles. Place, and just God's power is just manifesting in such an amazing way.
You can watch it at God.tv, God.tv, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can actually go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, and there might even be a embedded player there where you can watch it on the Torch. We'll see what they're going to do today. But this is exciting. You know, this is exciting to see where, and so you have Rick Joyner now, who is a spiritual father now to Todd. And that's what Todd really needed. He needed covering. He needed, you know, so many things. I was talking with, you know, Brother Ken, my spiritual father that had passed away in the Lord, about God's generals and those that have gone before us. And he said that a lot of them ended up the way they ended up because they just didn't have covering.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know, Mariah Etter, that it wouldn't have been so. Or you think about Amy Simple McPherson and the torment that she had to go through.
Bless her heart.
Because
yeah.
There was nobody to step in. And she looked for covering, but nobody, because they said, you're a woman.
Right.
They wouldn't, you know, she had to actually follow God alone because.
Isn't that awful?
It's terrible. And so she started the four square church only because that people wouldn't absorb the harvest. It's so ignorant. You know, it's just so ignorant. And she is the first woman in America to have a radio station, I believe. She was the first one. And just did a powerful. A lot of the charismatic movement in the world today comes out of her lineage.
Well, you see so many, she's sad to say, so much of the church is getting their inspiration from Hollywood.
Yeah.
But I've heard it said so many times that because the church was in Los Angeles, that the people in Hollywood would come into her meetings and get inspiration.
Oh.
Because inspiration for their programs just by being in her meetings and how she was influencing just the entire world.
And the way she preached, she would act out the word. They would literally have theater on a stage in the Angeles Theater, and which is now being used by the Dream Center, I think, in L.A., that and they would just act it out, just real dramatic, you know, very sanguine-y. Very sanguine-y, open, flamboyant, march down parades. She's just openly in love with Jesus. But you look at, you know, now we can understand things a little bit more. What probably was going on was the old move. God was making sure that what he was doing through Amy was not integrated with what he did do. And so the old move rejected the new move, and therefore it was pure in what was going on. But her personally, you know, would not have had all the stuff, mama drama, where her mother was helping her out, and they were always, you know, arguing and different things going on. And but God uses human beings. So now you look at, you know, Todd's got Rick. That's beautiful, isn't it?
Here
he is. He's working hard. You know, it's the working of miracles. It's like, it takes work. You're working and believing and praying and working and believing on the second week. And he gets an email from his spiritual father. And he begins to speak over him. And he says, you're redigging the wells of John G. Lake. He says, trouble's going to come, but it's going to be like smoke. I'm paraphrasing. It's going to be like smoke. Don't worry about it. It'll go away. But keep doing the work because you're redigging the wells. There's nothing more beautiful than that because often so many people are alone. But you understand, they have a relationship, though. It's not some, hey, you know, I'll write you a check and just, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
They actually, they relate. And don't tell me it doesn't make a difference having a spiritual father and honoring those that have gone before you. And now he has a spiritual father speaking over what's taking place and encouraging him. He's not alone like he was alone in Lakeland.
Yeah.
And he's got Wendy and Rory not taking it for granted. Because, listen, last time we did not cover him in prayer. We did not cover this move in prayer. This is about Jesus. This is not about this man, you know. And so they're calling out now for intercession. I mean, they're paying attention now instead of just assuming. And quite often we just let gifts move. And we don't pay attention. There's a human being there that can die in the whole process.
Yeah.
Of what's going on. You listen to VFN Radio. We'll be right back continuing this conversation.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
So I'm wondering if there are written guidelines for chaplains, what their speech can be or prayers can be at invocations at various functions.
Let me tell you the best example I would give, and that is the example that takes place in the House and Senate. And there the chaplains compose their own prayers, make their own statements, have their own liturgy when they do their own, if they do services or Bible studies for the members of the House or the Senate. And I would say, George, you would have that same right under the First Amendment to do that. But right now, as the law stands, there's a case that's very supportive of your position here, and I think you're fine to continue to pray. Pray the way you feel like you want to pray. If you want to end it in Jesus' name, you have the right to do that. If you want to speak at functions, you certainly have the First Amendment right to do that.
If you have a legal question or concern, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Vine Fellowship Network University, vfnu.org. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You got to understand how things start and what God says and how God, when he begins to do something, a new thing, a new work, he will normally call a people out from what he presently or in the past established so he can begin not a new gospel, but a fresh wind, a fresh anointing for the next generation, you know. And one thing that we found out at Vine Fellowship Network is that, you know, God was preparing us for this next season of what's taking place. It really looks like possibly for the end times, right, you know. But either way, it's for our generation, you know. And at Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU, you can actually begin to learn and grow because God's called you into the harvest field. It's not really an option. It's not the great option. It's or the suggestion. It's the Great Commission. And in VFNU, you'll learn the history of how did the Vine Fellowship Network come to pass. I mean, how did it happen? And it came from a compelling and a word and a direction from God, and totally in alignment. Everything that we're aware of that is a related and scripturally correct. It just ties in. You can't help but look in every direction. And Vine Fellowship Network University, the pattern, the biblical pattern that he's called us to walk out, which is just the Word of God, that it reminds you of God.
Right.
You know, and a true prophet draws you closer to God, and a false prophet draws you closer to themselves. Mm-hmm. And our desire at Vine Fellowship Network University and VFN is to for you to be drawn closer to God. A byproduct of that is you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that is you're closer to God, you're hungrier for God. So in VFNU, you learn things about, you know, how the church is to function. You know, right now, we've taken on so many mindsets of the world, especially the American board business mindset, that we're convinced that the Father's business is like the world's business, but it's not.
Right.
And we also talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, what is, you can't rule out the one who's supposed to be, you know, ruling the church and under Jesus, and understanding how control is God, and understanding the importance of being rightly related. And the, you know, there's biblical daily, weekly, there's patterns that we as believers that God tells us to go by in his word, and you'll discover what they mean biblically, how they fit, financial integrity, you know, finding out how we can best do what's right before God in our financial areas, discovering the biblical patterns of gathering as a church, the importance of maintaining your confidence, understanding the voice of the Lord, how God can speak with you, to you, you know, biblical foundations of faith, dealing with authority, zero tolerance, walk, worship, and warfare. I mean, there's so many things that you learn through VFNU that it just empowers you to do what God's called you to do. Listen, we want to see everything that God's called you to be manifest in your life, and we want to see you in the Great Commission. We want to we're in agreement with you. Find out more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift
of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We were just talking about, I got the finger, so I didn't know what to do with that. Mr. Producer. We wanted to continue talking about hunger and desperation as a currency in the kingdom. We'll pick that up in a moment. We want to make sure we get the second part of the 10-part interview about Pope Francis and the Malachi prophecies. If you missed it yesterday, you got to be able to catch it. But understand this prophecy and all this interview of intelligence that's been gathered through an investigation is saying that this particular pope, this is what they're saying, that this particular pope that would be in office would actually be one that leads a large portion of the Catholic Church into leadership under the Antichrist. And the first thing Pope Francis did was to pray with the Muslim leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Antichrist. Wow. That's the anti-Jesus spirit. And so that to me, that just kind of, but we're letting you hear the interview yourself and draw your own conclusions with this. But listen, this is part two of a 10-part interview. Listen up.
Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word, means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. Where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile is finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Chris Putnam, is co-author of the best-selling book, Petrus Romanus, The Final Pope is Here. But I've been going through this new book that is ready to come out that we have available right now. It's not in the bookstores yet, called Exo Vaticana. This intrigues me no end, but there's a little bit of background that I want you to bring out. Experts in Bible prophecy over 100 years ago saw what would be going on today in our culture, which is setting the stage for the book that you've just written. What did they see?
Well, Sid, you know, what I was referring to is George Hawkins Pember, who was a theologian in England around the turn of the century. He wrote a book called Earth's Earliest Ages and Their Connection with Modern Spiritualism and Theosophy. And, you know, what he was looking at was Jesus made this reference to, as in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, he pulled out, you know, just the 7 points where he saw parallels between the antediluvian, meaning the pre-flood civilization, and, you know, the culture that he was living in, you know, at the turn of the century, turn of the 20th century. Now, you know, in the emphasis, you know, if you look at Jesus's teaching in that passage, is, you know, he's really saying that people are just oblivious, that the majority of the population is just not paying attention to the signs. And you know, Noah, it says in the book of Hebrews that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. You know, the people ignored Noah, and I can imagine that they ridiculed him for building an ark.
Yeah, you know, when I think about that, of it would be like the days of Noah in the last days, I think about morality just sinking to no zero level. That's what most people think about, but there's a lot more to it, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. So the 7 parallels that Pember commented on were an overemphasis of God's mercy at the expense of holiness.
Boy, that sounds like the popular grace message today, but go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a whole movement of pluralism you know, believing that all religions lead to God, you know, that all religions are somehow correct. You know, the expense of his holiness, you know, people don't want to hear a convicting message about sin. People don't want to believe in a literal place called hell.
You know, it's gone to extremes. There was a time when holiness was preached, and today they say, well, so many people are turned off that we want to just do the positives rather than the negatives, and a generation is being raised without understanding, without holiness, you will not see God.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the gospel is unintelligible without a coming to the end of yourself, you know, without an admission that you're fallen and sinful. You know, without that, it's not really even coherent to have a Savior. You know, you have to be saved from something for that to be, you know, an intelligible concept.
What were the other points that he raised?
Well, the second one was a disregard for gender roles and contempt for marriage. Now, you know, he was commenting on this, you know, at the dawn of the 20th century. I don't think he would ever even imagined, you know, the fact that we're starting to legislate homosexual unions and people are calling that marriage.
Listen, in my lifetime, I can't imagine the change that has occurred so quickly. Morality is, there is none today, and it's getting worse.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the whole idea of relativism has so infiltrated the culture.
Now, what does that mean, relativism?
Well, it's this idea that morality is really just dependent on your opinion or your own feelings. You hear the sort of nonsense like, well, that's true for you, but it's not true for me. You know, people have just, that's just completely incoherent to think that way, because you know, there is an absolute truth, which is what matches reality. It's not an opinion. And, you know, I think that, you know, people have abandoned this in this sphere of morality. But, I mean, there really are things that are good and evil.
Yeah, you know, it goes back to Pontius Pilate's question to Jesus, what is truth? Either there's absolutes or there aren't. If there's not absolutes, believe anything you want. What were some of the other points?
Well, interestingly, his third point was how technology and entertainment entice man away from worshiping God. Again, you know, writing at the dawn of the 20th century, how much more so today when we have the internet and just such a proliferation of mass media that it's hard to even keep track of it all.
I mean, I go into restaurants and I don't see people talking to each other anymore. They've got their cell phones out or their iPads, and they don't even need someone at the table.
Right. And, you know, the thing that we have done that is really dangerous is that we've embraced progress. We've made an idol of progress. And we've defined progress as increased efficiency and convenience. Now, you know, those are the idols of America. And we don't really consider, when we adopt a new technology, you don't just get the culture that you have plus the new technology. The new technology radically changes the culture, and it destroys what was there before. I mean, in a very real way. I mean, things like texting and that we're doing now are deconstructing the English language, and you know, it's really nothing we can do about it. Once this sort of thing is in motion, it's pretty much a done deal.
Oh, what other things did he predict?
Well, five was a vast population increase, and you know, that is way beyond the sphere of anything that he was imagining. You know, and that is it's an issue for missions and world evangelism as well, because, you know, you have such a population increase in some of these third world areas that it's hard to keep up, especially with the unreached people groups. So the sixth is the rejection of the prophetic warnings and preaching. And that's the most pertinent really to our discussion, is that, you know, there's so many signs. People that are, you know, that are familiar with Bible prophecy see what's going on in Israel. I mean, things like the Arab Spring. You know, there's so many signs that you know, it's almost overwhelming. I mean, the general feeling in the prophetic community is that things are right on the edge. Now, the seventh idea that Pember put forth was, I'll quote, "The appearance upon earth of beings from the principality of the air and their unlawful intercourse with the human race, end quote. Now, when he's talking about the principality of the air, that's a reference to Ephesians chapter 2, where the devil is referred to as the prince of the principality of the air. Now, what's really interesting about that is that the New Testament worldview, the realm of the demons is really the atmosphere between the earth and actually the moon is the way they really thought of it. So when we're dealing with the subject of unidentified aerial phenomenon and UFOs and these sorts of experiences that people are having, it's not really a stretch to posit these as demonic manifestations, because the realm of demons in the New Testament worldview is the sky.
You know what you're saying reminds me of? The wheat and the tares. The parable, and Jesus said, let the tares grow up. So what I'm hearing you say is that when we read the story about the ancient Nephilim, where the sons of God cohabited with the human women, that's coming back. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think that there's a lot of really compelling evidence that points to something like that going on. I mean, in the study of UFOs, there's several big-name scholars who have studied the abduction phenomenon and determined that it's real. Now, one is Dr. John Mack, who was a Harvard psychiatrist who wrote two very large volumes on the abduction phenomenon. Now, Dr. Mack risked his career in academia to write this book on abduction and come out and say that he believed that it, absolutely something real was going on, and that it wasn't a mental illness or insanity, that something was happening to these people. He really inferred strongly that it was largely a spiritual type of phenomenon.
All right, if the abductions are predominantly spiritual, are you talking about God or are you talking about the devil?
Well, what we see in the abduction phenomenon is characteristically evil.
You will not understand end times without these two books that document secret files in the Vatican Library and belief in aliens. Petrus Romanus, the last pope, hidden in the Vatican libraries over 900 years ago, a vision of the next 112 popes, stunning accuracy of the first 111. Now, this last pope will take office for the final judgment. The second book, Exo Vaticana, documents the Vatican's plan for arrival of an alien god with a small g, secret files in the Vatican Library on the reality of alien presence, Vatican's position on extraterrestrials, Vatican's Project Lucifer, why 2013 is the year top astronomers say the aliens will be revealed, the breeding and hybridization program for humans and aliens. Both books available for a donation of $35. The second book is only available through our ministry.
I'm interrupting this telecast with a special announcement. We have a new pope, St. Francis. According to the Malachi prophecy, he had to be a Roman. Did you know that this new pope's parents were from Italy, Roman? Not only that, he's the first Jesuit to ever be pope. And as you've just heard, the Jesuits are involved with the aliens.
To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.
It's amazing what is happening here. 900 years ago, this Malachi prophecy was given. 900 years ago. And we're going to make, not only are these available, these books available at Sid Roth, ministry, as he just said, but also they're available. You can go to the Torch, go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. And both books, Petros Romanos and Exo Vaticana, is going to be available for you that they wrote. And these are not, they don't call themselves prophets. We hired investigators. We went and talked to them. And this is what they said. We need to be aware and awake of what's taking place. As we're just saying in the president's live speech, I want you to hear right now, it's breaking. The president is speaking. The president is speaking about the explosion in Boston, the alleged terrorist attack. Listen up right now. This is from the White House.
Good afternoon, everybody. Earlier today, I was briefed by my Homeland Security team on the events in Boston. We're continuing to monitor and respond to the situation as it unfolds, and I've directed the full resources of the federal government to help state and local authorities protect our people, increase security around the United States as necessary, and investigate what happened. The American people will say a prayer for Boston tonight, and Michelle and I send our deepest thoughts and prayers to the families of the victims in the wake of this senseless loss. We don't yet have all the answers, but we do know that multiple people have been wounded, some gravely, in explosions at the Boston Marathon. I've spoken to FBI Director Mueller and Secretary of Homeland Security Napolitano, and they're mobilizing the appropriate resources to investigate and to respond. I've updated leaders of Congress in both parties, and we reaffirm that on days like this, there are no Republicans or Democrats. We are Americans, united in concern for our fellow citizens. I've also spoken with Governor Patrick and Mayor Menino and made it clear that they have every single federal resource necessary to care for the victims and counsel the families. And above all, I made clear to them that all Americans stand with the people of Boston. Boston police, firefighters, and first responders, as well as the National Guard, responded heroically and continue to do so as we speak. It's a reminder that so many Americans serve and sacrifice on our behalf every single day, without regard to their own safety, in dangerous and difficult circumstances. And we salute all those who assisted in responding so quickly and professionally to this tragedy. We still do not know who did this or why, and people shouldn't jump to conclusions before we have all the facts. But make no mistake, we will get to the bottom of this, and we will find out who did this, we'll find out why they did this. Any responsible individuals, any responsible groups will feel the full weight of justice. Today is a holiday in Massachusetts, Patriots Day. It's a day that celebrates the free and fiercely independent spirit that this great American city of Boston has reflected from the earliest days of our nation. And it's a day that draws the world to Boston's streets in a spirit of friendly competition. Boston is a tough and resilient town. So are its people. I'm supremely confident that Bostonians will pull together, take care of each other, and move forward as one proud city. And as they do, the American people will be with them every single step of the way. You should anticipate that as we get more information, our teams will provide you briefings. We're still in the investigation stage at this point, but I just want to reiterate, we will find out who did this, and we will hold them accountable. Thank you very much.
This is a lot. This was from the White House yesterday when the president is addressing what has taken place. Politico was saying they're making a live statement, and this is yesterday's broadcast. Mm-hmm. And it's we're Americans. We're Americans,
right.
And there's just us, you know, and we need to stand together mm-hmm. at a time like this. And this is this very tragic time. It's good to see our president step out front and begin to lead and with this. And we appreciate everything that they're doing and all the resources coming together. You know, I was talking briefly about hunger and desperation. You know, so many times we do things to avoid being in desert experiences. But the truth is, until you're in a desert experience, you're not quite often thirsty because you always have as much water as you need. Or if you don't go through a time of lack, then you don't have a time of hunger. And you think about even the seasons. I mean, God created everything.
and he created the seasons. He created there's what, winter? And then after the freezing cold winter and everything's dying off and all the leaves are falling and all the insects are being killed if a good freeze comes in there, you know, and everything's kind of getting put. And then all of a sudden it just begins, spring hits. And then spring comes. And then all of a sudden what seems so desolate and seems so tough and it seems so, it's just miserable. You got to guard yourself from this because you'll just freeze to death. And people sometimes get colds and flus and the flu season. And all of a sudden, this beautiful sun's out. The same sun that was shining in your winter is now shining in your spring. And this whole new season begins to happen. But, and springs can be so good, sometimes we can forget we just came out of a winter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where things were dying off and things were just coming to an, you know, end of themselves. And it looked like it was over, but all of a sudden, when spring hits, suddenly a new season begins, and it's in the same year of your life. And then things that looked dead and gone start springing forth from the soil, and you start seeing stems, and then you see leaves, and then you see the wheat, and you see new things coming forth. But you can't really appreciate, if it's always spring, human nature is, you will take it for granted. If it's always spring, if it's always a sunny sky, you won't appreciate a sunny sky.
Right.
And God's designed us that way. And so even the seasons tell on God's design for us, and that in our lives we have personal winters. But then we appreciate the springs when they come, and you begin to pray for a spring. Lord, have something spring forth in my life. Lord, shine a new light. Give me a new viewpoint of what's taking place. And then spring happens, and all this foliage and all this wonderful flowers and colors and all these different things are taking place, and people start doing spring cleaning, and people start walking through parks, and they go, they're just getting excited. They're getting really pumped up for what's the next season that's about to come. And this, the spring is the season this pretty much you can just, you don't have to necessarily wear a lot of clothes at that point because it's just the perfect climate. It's just like the perfectness. Mm-hmm. You went from great cold, you know, just surviving type coldness to all of a sudden now it's just, wow, it's just wonderful. But then there's another season coming. That's not going to last forever. You know, then that's going to stop, and all of a sudden you got summer coming. Now, summer is something you have to manage as well, like you have to manage winter, depending on where you are. And the summers are hot. You know, summers you need shade. And things grow and things happen, but you got to be really strategic in summers. You can't just go out there and expose yourself to the elements because you can suffer greatly from that.
Mm.
But it is, it's not a winter, it's a summer. And then, but you're actually, you know, involved in so many things in the summertime because there's kind of like no boundaries. You still can do it as long as you appropriately respond to it. And that's the way it is in God. I mean, literally in God, that you know, you'll go through a dry time, you'll go through a winter time. And if you'll understand that and not get carried away in your winter, you'll be preparing for the spring that's about to come. And you won't be so carried away when God brings a spring in your life, because you know after spring comes summer. And then when all of this is coming to a head, I mean, all of the produce and the fruit and the flowers and all this stuff, you realize the stuff that you eat in the produce aisles grew during that time. Understand this, that all of a sudden when you start looking at fall and all the leaves that were once green start turning all kinds of colors, and things that looked so exciting now for a moment had an interesting, beautiful look to them, but then they just started falling off. Things just start falling off in your life. And this is what Jesus said. He said, my Father is the gardener. My father, I am the vine, you are the branches, and my Father is the gardener. That the Father cuts off every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, but he prunes the ones who do. In other words, even though you love God and you're walking with God, you're going to have seasons in your life. And don't get carried away in any season. Realize you got to really prepare and understand that seasons will come and seasons will go. God's designed it that way. Don't get too down in the down season, and don't get so up in up season that you're shocked that summer comes. Understand that that's you appreciate winter when you've been through a hot summer.
Mm-hmm.
And you appreciate summer when you've been through a cold winter. And fall and spring is just the joy between the two.
Yeah.
And you learn how to begin to enjoy those things. And when things start falling off and God starts pruning you and you're going into the fall and you see the leaves that were so beautiful, but now they're gone and it's getting barren, don't panic.
Understand it's just a season. You will appreciate spring. Just brace yourself for winter. Get ready. Store up. Now be ready and understand seasons comes and seasons goes. But God has designed things that way. So if you've been going through a dry time in your life and you're wondering, what's wrong with me? If you're going through a time that things just kind of fell off, things that you used to do naturally, all of a sudden now you've been pruned. You've been cut back. There are things that have fallen off. Listen, it's just a season. It's just a season. God's loved you while you were yet a sinner. So you know he's proud of you and loves you as you've been walking with him. Don't worry about what men think of you. Understand God loves you and singing over you, and he's got a plan for your life. Realize that there's going to be new growth come in your life. Because when you prune something back, when you let things go, when you let a seed die, and it has to die first before it will produce, you'll produce much more than you were producing before, and it'll be new growth, a new wind blowing in your life. So I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today. I don't know what season you're in. I talked about natural seasons, but they don't go along with the spiritual seasons. Because sometimes you can be going through your own personal winter while somebody else is in their spring. And they're bragging about their spring. They're talking about how good things are in their life. But you're just trying to hold on and survive the cold experience and your emotions and things that are going on. Relax. It'll soon be spring for you. And you can look at the one who was looking at you that was in their spring and say, it's not that hot. It's only summer. I just want to encourage you today. God's designed seasons. He's designed it where if we're not liking the fresh water he's given us, he doesn't take the water away. He just takes us on a long journey of dry places and back to the very same water again. Mm. And we finally say, what we could have said in the beginning, this tastes good, God. Mm. This is some good stuff. When you think about it, it makes me think about Romans. You know, Romans chapter 12, when he talks about Romans chapter 12, he's talking to the church. And he says very specifically in Romans chapter 12, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What that really means is this. It means then when he brings you back to his will, which you first saw in the beginning and you couldn't relate to, you go, this is good. I think I'm just going to offer my body as a living sacrifice. What was I thinking? Here I am, God. I'm yours. I will lay down my life. I will deny myself. I will pick up my cross and I'll follow you. And I'll no longer define myself. I'll no longer define myself by what other people think of me. I will no longer define myself by the seasons I'm in. I'm going to define myself by what you think of me. And your thoughts towards me are good. And your plans for me are awesome. Plans to bless me and prosper me. Be encouraged in your season. Don't be too high in your spring. Don't be too low in your summer. And hold on if you're in your winter, because spring is coming. You're listening to VFN Radio. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.